The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
These are the times as your dean, I'm privileged to have the podium to do what I want. And one of the things I'd like to do periodically, and I've talked to many of you about some of these issues, but at times in my role as dean of students, I mean, I love what I'm doing. I absolutely love it. Just hanging out. Am I allowed to say that, Carl? I hang out with people. But in the pastoral side of me too, I mean, as a minister of the gospel, I mean, my first love is Christ. I want to wrestle with the call of Jesus in my life, as I challenge you to do that too. But I have to confess, there are times in different seasons of my time here that my heart is heavier than others, as I see at times what I think is some paradox, some inconsistencies, and yes, even some hypocrisy here in this community. And I have to confess to you that that's kind of heavy on my heart, because this is a seminary. This is a place where people come who are saying, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want my life to be all that God wants it to be. I want him to be pleased with everything I say, do, and think. That's a nice thought, but what do I do as the dean of students when, as a community, at times I think I see some inconsistencies. And this is where issues of doctrine and credibility come in. And so I don't want to slap your wrists. I don't want to put you on a big guilt trip. I just want us together to feel the weight of the call of the gospel. And I want to share with you, based on one brief verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul spends his life seeking to bring the great doctrines of our faith to bear, but with an equal, I think, and an equal obsession of credibility of that gospel in his life. He just cannot separate the two. He cannot hammer away at the criticalness of understanding who Christ is and what he's done for us and what that implies. He cannot continue to push that without, in his own life, being very aware in his own conscience of what it means to be clear before God, to honor God in every way. It is not just his job, but it's his life. And I want to show you briefly what I think are some issues that we have to continue to wrestle with in our pilgrimage. Verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says this, "Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. We have done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace." You'll miss it if you don't read that. The essence of what Paul is talking about in his life. You and I feel good about many things, and rightfully so, when you pass a test or you get an A or you are appreciated for something. You feel good about that, not boasting in an arrogant way, but you just thank God that you're able to do well in certain things. Paul says, here's what I am boasting about. This is what I'm excited about, that my conscience is clear. My conscience is clear. What does that mean? Paul says, my conscience is clear in this, in how we have conducted ourselves in two places. How we have walked our lives in the world, the non-believing world. Our conscience is clear that we have striven to be consistent with what we declare in the world. That means when non-believers look at the Apostle Paul, he's not being arrogant, but he can say before God, before my God, I am striving to be consistent with what I declare, that people would see Jesus in me. But then he says, especially, here's a great interest of emphasis, and this is what hits me as your dean of students, especially in my relationship with fellow believers. I am extremely self-conscious. I want my conscience to be clear that before my brothers and sisters in Christ, there is consistency. There is not hypocrisy. There is integrity. There is something very powerful about living out the gospel among believers in a way that is filled with what he says. And look at the means by which he gives us here. The context is in the world, and especially with believers, in holiness and sincerity. Again, these are issues I'd love to spend several chapels on. But how do you and I conduct our lives here at Westminster, a place that is set apart to truly seek the knowledge of God, should be a place where very powerfully and very clearly is seen the holiness of God in sincerity and how we deal with one another. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I think as Christians, we ought to be, by God's Spirit, examining our hearts, and our consciences need to be cleared daily. And this idea of walking in holiness and sincerity, I think, is a simple way of saying our actions have to be supported by our motives. What is it that drives us to do the things that we do? We must do things that promote God's holiness, but with motives that are coming from a clear conscience, that are striving to honor our God. And Paul says in the end there that it's done not by the wisdom of the world. And the wisdom of the world very simply means that if you are conducting yourself more concerned about your own reputation and how you come across and how it makes you look and how other people value you, that's from the pit of hell. That's the wisdom of the world. But the wisdom of God says, may they forget the vessel and see only him. May Jesus Christ increase and I decrease. May God pierce my heart and protect me from prideful boasting and feeling good about something in and of myself. But may Jesus Christ be praised for all that I do. Now, we pay lip service to that, but my heart is heavy because of some great paradoxes. Let me just give you some illustrations. Here in this community, this might sound simple, and I'm trying not to look like some pietistic fundamentalist slapping your wrist and saying, don't do that, be good boys and girls. Here's a minor illustration. A little snack bar tray over in the coffee room. $18 short. $18 short. The vending companies who come from outside this community come into a seminary and find out they've been cheated out of $20 for candy. Somebody has said, well, maybe not this time. I mean, I have good intentions, but I'll pay it later, or I don't need to pay it. A seminary. Another illustration, a student shared with us recently that not once, not twice, but three times, their car has been bumped into, some damage done to their vehicle. On this campus, not one note on their vehicle. Again, probably an outsider. Somebody come in drunk, just hit their car. Couldn't be another seminary student. And most recently, one of the things that Robin Sia, who works, as you know, in the student affairs office, she oversees a lost and found. I can't tell you, at least 6, 8, 10 times, students have come in and saying, I've lost my recorder. I put it on the table to record. I came back and it's gone. Okay, might see accidentally that might happen once or twice, but 8 or 10 missing? I'm having a hard time understanding the paradox. Now, you probably could come up with reasons about that happens, but I'm just concerned that where is the struggle with a clear conscience of how we conduct ourselves, not only in the world, but especially among brothers and sisters in Christ? What are we saying when we think it's okay to compromise even a little bit the holiness of our God, the reputation of our Savior that you and I claim from our lips, that there would be any inconsistency, especially at a seminary? I'm sorry if I'm preaching at you. I'm your dean of students. I'm your pastor. I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. At times, at seasons in my life here at seminary, my heart's heavy because you're dealing with my Savior and his reputation. And if I'm inconsistent, if my conscience is not clear before God and how I deal with that, oh, may a brother or sister pull me aside and say, Jerry, it's not about you, it's about Christ. Do you really need to do that? Do you really need to say that? And that's why I think Paul's statements that he gives throughout his letters, especially as he talks about the holiness of God, are not spiritual platitudes. When he says, whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Let that be the filter, and may Jesus Christ be praised. Let's pray. Father, it is hard to be reminded anew that in our flesh, in ourselves, we are wretched and failures. But in Christ Jesus, because of the forgiveness of our sins, we have hope not only for forgiveness, but we have joy in the struggle to bring honor to you. Oh God, forgive us. Forgive us for how often we take a casual view of those little things in life that we think are not that important. But, oh God, make us followers of Jesus who are increasingly obsessed biblically and righteously with the holiness of our Savior, so that the way we conduct our lives before the world and especially before brothers and sisters would bring praise and encouragement and, yes, even conviction by your Holy Spirit. Teach us even now. And, Father, we ask you to do that work for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, go have a great weekend. Have a good day.